This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, a little Jersey Boys for you. That's not, for those of you that go back far enough, that is not Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. But, you know, the Jersey Boys has been a phenomenal success. They got these Jersey Boy road shows all over the place, and I saw it when it came here years ago here in Tampa Bay. Good morning and welcome. Welcome, my friends, to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, my partner in crime, we thank you very much for joining us on this Friday morning, June 16th already. We're here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. In a few minutes, Heather Kays joins us, as she does every Friday. Heather is an acclaimed national education reporter, and we're going to talk about the latest in the fight to bring school choice to every parent and student in the country. So stay tuned. And we will seek the wise counsel of the Barber Poll to find out what America thinks about this independent counsel investigation into any Donald Trump-Russia collusion, if you believe that. And whether that guy, Robert Mueller, the counsel, should be fired by Trump. There's a wave that's building on that. Also, we're going to discuss the minimum wage hikes that are being proposed and how they will hurt both restaurants and the patrons themselves. So stay tuned for it. Finally, in our ultimate top 10, in our last show, we gave you the worst cars of 2017. So the best cars of 2017. By the way, we're sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you men, you got to skedaddle over to the Columbia Plaza in Clearwater and make a beeline for that barber pole. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. And don't forget, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, FreedomWorks.com. You can, Big Ed sets up all of our shows, hit the podcast button, and you can find any show we've done, and you can hear us live. What more can you want out of your life? Well, we got a lot. You know, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, I don't know where this show and a lot of shows would be. The Donald Trump administration is providing more people more opportunity in media. But now we've got the leaks coming out of this special investigator. They call him a special counsel. He's not a special prosecutor. You know the difference. There is one. If it was a special prosecutor, the guy could prosecute if he found anything he thought was bad. This is a special counsel, and he can be fired by Trump. Did you know that? He can fire him. Now, apparently, Donald Trump, was it this morning? He sent new tweets, yes, indeed. He sent out tweets about this whole investigation, critical of the guy that hired Robert Mueller. Really, the guy that hired Robert Mueller? What are you laughing for? I know, I didn't mean to say what I said. Big Ed is rolling around on the floor, and if you've ever seen him roll around on the floor, it's a sight to see. But anyway, you get the thing about the leaks that are going on now in the Robert Mueller investigation, into Donald Trump. It's becoming a joke. I mean, it's got to be somebody leaking the information that's actually a part of the team, right? I mean, how else would the leaks come? Does Mueller just invite everybody in and somebody not part of the team says it? Anyway, and we're going to talk a little bit more about all of this after we talk with Heather Case, but the Trump administration firing back at these torrent of leaks surrounding Robert Mueller's probe, suggesting that these anonymous sources tied to these reports cannot be trusted. And they're also calling into question Mueller's neutrality. In an unusual statement, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein says Americans should question any anonymously sourced reports. He says Americans should exercise caution before accepting as true any stories attributed to anonymous officials. He says particularly when they do not identify the country, let alone the branch of agency or government. Maybe they're coming from Switzerland, you know? Anyway, the Washington Post, of course, is more than happy to cite anybody that calls in on their phone that has anything bad to say about Donald Trump. While not specifically citing the Russia probe, the Washington Post published an anonymously sourced report saying another significant development in the Mueller investigation, Jared Kushner is being checked on. So there you go. We're going to also talk a little bit later about a case could be made for Mueller being fired because of his association with James Comey, the former FBI director. So I'll tell you what, let's do this. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk. We got some very interesting stories about what's going on in Florida and all over the place with Heather Case and school education.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show, guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show, guys, every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show, guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tan Talk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works, Friday morning, and per usual on a Friday, delighted to have Heather Case join us. Heather is an education reporter and policy expert. She's an acclaimed education reporter, by the way. And she's been published all over the place. And we talk every Friday about what is going on with our schools. And Heather, I know you've all gathered together quite a contingent of things. Let's start with Florida. And this has been ongoing for a while, this education bill. But finally, Governor Rick Scott signed it. And I guess a few people, not too many surprised. Some were angered, but I bet you most were happy. But tell us about it a little bit.
Yes, so this is the education bill that does a lot of different things, but it includes those schools of hope where charter schools would be given the ability to come in and take over traditional public schools that have been chronically underperforming and failing students. So that's why there are some people who were angry about it. But I do think that there are a lot of people who are happy about this as well. Governor Scott was put under a lot of pressure in both directions, and this is a massive piece of legislation that does just, it changes a lot of things related to education. And so it wasn't really clear whether or not he was actually going to support this, because there would have been countless reasons he could have agreed to or disagreed with this, but he kind of went all in and went along with this, which is a good thing for charter school supporters and proponents of school choice.
I would think so. And as I understand it, this will help, in some cases, kids with disabilities, give them choices as well, right?
That's true. Yeah, it definitely adds education funding to special needs students, and it does a lot of positive things. However, I understand it does so much, it changes so much, and it was done sort of on the DL behind closed doors in relatively quick fashion. So I think that people are sort of frustrated with the process, but I do have to say that I am happy that the governor decided to put it into place.
Yeah, indeed. I know what you're talking about. They did go behind closed doors, and in some cases, you know, that's how great things got done in the history of our country and in a lot of other countries as well. Then they came out, and they did have, you know, this bill that was set up. And I guess there are people that question, perhaps legitimately so, some of it, but they went after bad performing schools, consistently bad performing schools, I think, with the idea of giving the kids in those areas a chance to get a better school out of it, right?
I absolutely agree. I think that there's more good in this legislation than there is bad, and any negative repercussions I think they'll be able to deal with. But you can't ask me to be upset about the governor signing legislation into law that's going to put $30 million to expand the Gardner Scholarship, which is the program for students with disabilities. A lot of really positive things are in this legislation, so I think it should be celebrated.
Yeah, exactly. Let's stay in Florida, Heather. I know you got another story here where a Florida judge has ruled that a county's charter schools deserve a cut, I guess, of local school taxes. Tell us a little bit about that one.
This is something that happens all over the country all of the time, where charter schools are put in a position of fighting for funding because traditional public schools are able to convince everyone that they somehow are more deserving of the public funding, even though charter schools are also public schools. So basically, a state judge ruled this week that the charter schools did deserve the amount of tax funding that they said that they should have been given. They were receiving 5%. They wanted 12%. And the judge agreed with the charter schools, which potentially could have repercussions for the county and other charter schools throughout the state.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. They could certainly fall on this as a precedent in other school districts, charter schools, saying, hey, look what happened in this county. So I guess that sounds positive. You know, and like you say, they are they can't argue that they shouldn't get something. They're public schools, right?
Absolutely right. And basically, the what this came down to was them arguing that the traditional public schools were taking more than their fair share given the number of students that they were actually educating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a reasonable way to look at it. If you calculate it based on the percentage of students in each school, how does that not make it fair? The money should follow the students is basically the way that I always look at this.
Exactly.
So I think this is a good thing.
Absolutely. We're talking with Heather Kays, acclaimed education reporter and policy expert when it comes to schooling and education, and as you can tell, a proponent of vouchers and charter schools generally. We always have an interesting discussion with her. Let's go over, since we're talking about charter schools, if you don't mind, Heather, to the Betsy DeVos story. Apparently she's delivered a tough love message to advocates for charter schools?
Sort of.
Okay.
I think that maybe the language in that headline is slightly strong.
Is it? Okay.
Basically, Betsy DeVos spoke and was politely reminding charter schools that they are not the only avenue of school choice, and they are a player in a much larger, collection of options for parents and families. So maybe a little bit tough, but it wasn't, she's still obviously a proponent of charter
schools. Yeah, I think you're right about the headline. This comes from U.S. News, by the way. I think they're a little liberal sometimes, but yeah, it was more of like a gut check or something, right?
Right, yeah. So basically what she was saying is that the success of charter schools should be celebrated, but it's important for them to not, quote, become the man.
Why? That's politically incorrect, Heather. Come on now. You don't become the man. You know that. We become the women. That's how this works now. This is a new age. Go ahead.
So she went on to say that there's no one right way to help kids learn, and that there need to be different ways for children to be educated. That was the point that she
sure.
was making.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I guess she's also trying to be a bit of a healer. I've always looked at Betsy DeVos. She seems to be very easygoing. I mean, they've been throwing rocks and tomatoes and lettuce and, everything at her. And she seems to maintain, she maintains her equilibrium.
yeah.
And isn't she trying, and maybe she sees her job as education secretary, to try to make everybody kind of work together, huh?
Yes, I do think that she views her job that way, and I think that it's a really good thing that she does. Far too often in education policy, people end up at each other's throats. And I don't think that that's the way that it should be. Charter schools should be working with traditional public schools and vice versa. Everybody should be trying to help each other, because at the end of the day, the kids are the ones who suffer, and that's the people that all the adults are supposed to be helping.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, this is from the Washington Post. Apparently, there was a senior, an African-American, graduated. He refused to read the speech that he was supposed to read at commencement, and they withheld his diploma? Is that right?
Yeah. So this is a wacky story, and it actually really, really frustrated me. So
okay.
That's kind of why I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this student did what he was supposed to do. He wrote a speech. He left it on the principal's desk, gave it to the English teacher who approved of it, did everything he was supposed to do. But then for some reason, the administrators decided that they wanted to give him a speech that he was going to read instead. It was a paragraph long, five sentences that they had written.
What sense is that? I thought it was supposed to be his feelings.
Exactly, which is what he thought, which is why teachers at the school, friends, his parents, everybody said you should read the speech that you wrote. You were told that it was supposed to be your speech in your own words. You did what you were supposed to do. You should read your speech. So the student gets up, takes his cell phone out, reads the speech that he prepared, which was, to be fair, perfectly appropriate And actually, a heck of a lot better than what the administrators had written.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
But this angered the administrators, and they refused to give him his diploma. So even though he had graduated and fulfilled every requirement that he was supposed to in order to graduate, out of some sort of petty sense
spite.
Of retaliation, the diploma was held and taken away from him. The principal was then told by the superintendent that he had to deliver the diploma to the student's house a few days later. It's just really, I don't understand the point of any of this.
No.
It's just people with power abusing it.
Yes, exactly.
Messing up a milestone in a kid's life.
And embarrassing the kid. There he is, at the commencement, and clearly he doesn't get his diploma. Makes him look, make him feel...
It should have been a happy day in his life, right?
Should have been a happy day in his life, and they did that. Where is this school? Do you know by chance? Is it in D.C. or somewhere in the east?
North Carolina.
Okay. We do a thing called campus quackery on our show. We even have a duck that quacks when we do it, and this would have been a perfect vehicle for our campus quackery. Stupid things. Stupid things done on school campuses. I hope the kid got his diploma, and I hope that that school has to apologize publicly for it.
He did get his diploma. The school has not apologized. Basically, what the principal said when he brought the diploma was, if your mother has any questions, she can call me.
Yeah, really? I would have flattened his tires before I got out of the driveway. Did you hear that quack? Wilbur the Duck.
Yes.
Even Wilbur the Duck is upset about this one more than usual.
But the student did finally get his diploma and is now off to serve in the Navy.
Bless him. Wow. Good for him. You know what? He sounds like the kind of guy, he probably learned, in the long run, he learned something and it's going to make him stronger. So that's good. And this is something I think you and I've talked about before, Heather. Hypocrisy on display. We have a lot of people in Washington the talk about public schools and turn up their nose at vouchers and charter schools. In the meantime, they're hustling off their own kids to these schools, and you have a story about the presidents. Tell us about that.
So it is a story from Business Insider, which points out the fact that in the last century, there was only one U.S. president to have sent his children to D.C. public schools. We do talk about this all the time. And it isn't just presidents. This goes down to people in Congress.
Of course.
Anyone who has the means to make sure that their children are not being sent to underperforming traditional public schools obviously does so. They send them to private schools, parochial schools. I mean, they send their kids to the schools where the tuition can be as high as it is for most people when they go to college. Some of these kids are attending schools where it's like $40,000, $50,000 a year just to attend the schools. And I think it's important because you're right. These are the same people who are yelling about how great traditional public schools are. Not good enough for their kids, just good enough for everybody else's.
And I want to emphasize this. In the last century, we're talking about the 20th century, all through from 1900 to year 2000, and then from 2000 to 2017. So in the last 117 years, only one president sent their kids to a public school. And that, by the way, that was Jimmy Carter.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter did it. It speaks for its a perfect example of action speaking louder than words. And like you said, it's not just the president. I would be interested to see when the last time was a vice president did that, it's just, they're not going to. Now, I believe President Obama at one time was confronted with that. He was asked, you're a proponent of public schools, but you haven't sent your two daughters to public school. He said, yes, you're right. And they asked him, why was that? He said, quite frankly, because the public schools don't measure up yet. He did say that in so many words.
I appreciate that because that's an honest answer.
That is about as honest.
A lot of people dance around it, and they'll say, "Oh, it's for security reasons," or you know,
exactly.
Try to sidestep the issue. And that, but that at least is an honest answer.
That exactly wasn't. I give him credit. I give him credit for that. But it is a little hypocritical then to go, you know, taking union money and standing up like so many Democrats. I have to admit, it's the Democrats. So many Democrats do, and rail against these people that say, well, maybe we should fund these programs outside of public schools. So I'm glad you brought that little story in, Heather. I really am glad you found it. And as usual, time goes much too quickly with you, and we've run out of it, but I want to thank you. Thank you so very much. I'll look forward to next Friday with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Heather Kays, what a dear, dear person. All right. Going to take our break. I can't wait to talk to the barber pole, find out whether or not this special investigator investigating Trump and his campaign should be fired.
Talk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do, not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid, and staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back again for the final, not for the final quarter, but the final half hour, Freedom Works. And want to remind you, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, which is Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Clearwater in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall. Look for the yellow sign with the red letters, gentlemen. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2. And we have the barber pole himself with us to talk a little bit about this investigation. And, Andrew, I see that President Trump was tweeting again this morning saying that the guy... he says, I am being investigated for firing the FBI director by the man who told me to fire the FBI director. Witch hunt. Did you see that?
I saw that, Paul. And you know what? I think the people know this is a bunch of baloney, a waste of time. Trump needs to fire, what's his name there, Mueller. Get him out of the way. This is nothing but a bunch of baloney. I mean, you know, like I said, a guy can find a common cure for cancer tomorrow, and they're going to find something wrong with him.
I think you're right.
But I think they're wasting a bunch of time here. They know that if anything happens, there's 63 million people ready to revolt against him if they try to do anything with Trump.
Yeah,
this is getting ridiculous. They're trying to coup against our president, okay? They know Comey's a no-good scumbag. Mueller's right behind him. They're like twin brothers. They're all in cahoots with everything. Did you notice today on the computer they're saying that a lot of the Seth Rich evidence has started to disappear off of the computer?
No, I didn't.
And they're trying to put an injunction against this.
And now let's remind people, Seth Ridge was a Democratic Party operative, right? And he got knocked off. He got killed. He was shot, right?
That's right, outside. Two times.
And then they took him to a hospital, and as you said, there was a doctor that thought he had a good...
2.5 hours later, that's right, he died.
He died, but the first doctor that saw him said,
there's
yeah...
95% chance of living. That's right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of question about what happened. They didn't take any valuables... When they shot him.
The only thing that was missing was his laptop.
And
must have been worth a lot of money, huh?
Exactly. And he had apparently been providing. Was he leaking info to WikiLeaks or something? Or how?
Yes, he was leaking information because he was a Bernie Sanders fan,
right?
And he didn't like what the DNC was doing to him, so he was leaking information to WikiLeaks. They found out about it. They offed him. But anyway, that's going down. You also noticed that the Trump finally says, and I've had it with these people. He put his tweet on there this morning. It says, how about Loretta Lynch meeting with President Clinton? That's not collusion. How about Hillary Clinton destroying phones with her hammer, deleting 3,000 emails? I mean, how come they're not
investigating
their ties with Russia?
You're exactly right.
And you know what? He's fighting back, and I don't blame him.
I don't blame him at all. I don't think most people... And by the way, his approval rating is going up. This is Rasmussen. I saw this yesterday, and he's up. And now this is, you know... But he's up to 47% approval rating, according to the Rasmussen report. And you got to remember, he was down as low as 30%. I think people are starting
to
come back a little bit.
People know what's going on. People know what's going on. They didn't just fall off the turnip truck. They know this is a witch hunt, just like he's saying. They need to quit wasting time. You know, it's amazing. They were all together, kissy-kissy, the other day when Scalise got shot there. And they were all, you know...
That didn't last very long.
They're all a bunch of phonies, but you know what? The thing is this now. They're all scared, too. You know why? There are as many crazy Trump people as there are crazy Democrat people. Okay?
And
what makes them think they aren't going to be targets next?
Hey, did you guys hear ABC, the television network, had dumped Tim Allen's
Last Man? That was my favorite program.
Yes.
I was all upset when they took it off.
And that's because he made a lot of pro-Trump comments during the thing.
He was a conservative.
But listen, now they've done a complete about-face. Guess what show is coming back? Roseanne. And she is the biggest Trump supporter, and she's already said it's going to be pro-Trump-based show.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Roseanne Barr's
she
pro-Trump?
Says she said, oh, yeah. And she says she, during the show, she's not going to let up.
As long as she doesn't sing the national anthem,
I'll be
okay with that.
People won't remember that, but I remember that.
I don't know what was worse, the audio or the video of that.
That's right.
That's right. They were both bad.
But you got to give her credit. She was trying to be funny when she did that. But go ahead. Yeah.
But, you know, this is cool going on. People are realizing what's happened. And then if they try, it's the globalist elite. It's the deep, what do they call it? The deep south trying to get them.
Exactly.
They're trying everything in their book. You know, obstruction of justice. The biggest obstruction of justice was the Democrat committee. From Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Loretta Lynch, Susan Rice, they're all a bunch of crooks. And Trump is going to bring this out. And he needs to fire Mueller and all the cronies Mueller's trying to put on there, man. They're all a bunch of Hillary people.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. We're trying to get him to tell it like he really feels. And I want to tell you, Andrew, I'm holding in my hand a story that the headline is Mueller Should Be Fired. And it makes a very good case for firing him. He's joined at the hip. He's joined almost at the hip with the guy he's invested.
With James
Comey, the former FBI director, and then he's hired a bunch of associates, many of whom I don't think there's any that have given any money to the Trump campaign, but lots that gave to the Hillary campaign. So it does seem like a
Listen,
little one-sided.
I don't think Dr. Ben Carson could separate these two, man.
Well,
he's the best in the world.
He is the best. He is the best.
He can't separate them, and they need to go. Trump needs to fire him. Sessions is, his assistant is the one that could fire him, right?
Yes.
Trump needs to put the word to say, listen, here's the facts. I'm not dealing with this crap. And I think he's doing it. He's letting it go for some reason. And you know, we're going to find out what it is. There's a reason Trump is keeping him around.
Well,
and I'm anxious to find out.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump would just let this guy slide and let him, you know, make a fool. It ain't going to happen.
No. Well, you know,
there's a method to his madness.
The assistant attorney general that has the authority to fire Robert Mueller is Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
But that's who Trump says, you know, also suggested.
Why you're Comey.
That Comey be fired. So it's all kind of funny because Rosenstein had some say in hiring this guy, Mueller. But I want to go back to something that has continued to make me upset. When James Comey did the interview of Hillary Clinton, he didn't tape it, and he did not put her under oath. Now, you tell me why.
Because he was in cahoots with her. They were hiding everything. What can she tell him?
Can you imagine not taping her testimony?
This is what's got to come out in the public, Paul. They're the ones that should be being investigated.
Yeah, it's very...
People need to wake up. Like, they're more corrupt than Al Capone ever dreamed of being.
I'm beginning to worry that you're right. And you go back to, now, why? Do they really love James Comey? Do people love... No, they don't. No, they don't.
No, they're all going to start singing like canaries, believe me. It's just a question of when, Paul. And when they all start taking the fifth because they can't talk about it, people are going to know how guilty it is.
Do you think Loretta Lynch will be called to testify?
I think Loretta Lynch is going to end up being put in jail when this is all over with. Okay,
no.
Her, Susan Rice, I think you can see James. I think you can see them all go down. And like I said, there's a reason why Trump is letting Mueller stay in there. I'm trying to figure out what it is, but it'll come to me.
Well, one of the things that might be is that it would look real bad if he fired him at this point. He's possibly looking to see and waiting to see whether or not Mueller is going to go one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? And he could.
Well, already know what he's doing.
Yeah, it looks like it. But did you know that Trump can fire him?
No.
Trump can fire him directly.
Oh, yeah, because he's the one that hired him.
No, because he's the president of the United States, and this guy serves in the Justice Department, and the Justice Department reports to the president. He can fire him. He can fire him right now, and he doesn't even have to give a reason. Did you know that?
That's right. It's like you said. He's going to wait till the right moment. There's a reason for Trump to do what he does, believe me. And, you know, he's a hard man to figure out, but he always seems to be right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, it's playing out like a little bit of a soap opera. They've jumped now. They're not even looking into whether or not Donald Trump colluded with Russians.
No, because they know there's nothing there. They're trying to find a needle in the haystack.
They're trying to find an obstruction of justice on a non-crime. That's what they're trying to find now. An obstruction of justice on a non-crime. That's really it. And he will not be impeached. It won't even be brought to that. And Mueller
meanwhile, they're letting the criminals get away with it.
Yeah.
The collusion was all done by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They're the ones they should be investigating, right? If they're going to waste money, why don't they put it there where they know they got a guaranteed kill?
I think we could make a great movie. I don't know if the Hollywood people would allow us to make it. We can make a great movie about all of this.
I can guarantee you one thing. These politicians are getting to be a little bit nervous now.
Yeah.
After what happened the other day.
Well, now, and that's another thing. You'll note that the Democrats play down the fact that this guy was a hardcore Bernie Sanders supporter.
Yeah, of course.
A guy that has been working for years with the Bernie Sanders people. He showed up at demonstrations. He goes to the baseball field and he asks somebody, are those Republicans or Democrats? Oh, those
Ron DeSantis, my friend's son. Congressman Representative DeSantis. That's right. Those are Republicans on the field.
Yeah, those are Republicans.
Car,
he goes back and gets he gets an AK-47. He goes back there and he starts shooting away.
That's right.
He got 50 or 60 shots off. You know,
thank God he was a bad shot.
I was going to say, he got 50 or 60 shots off. And they talk about, and I'm glad they the Washington whatever police got finally got there. But there was about 4 or 5 minutes. This guy had free rein to shoot.
Good shots he let off, and they're going to hit the fly. It was good.
Yes.
That was a good thing. And do you see where they say that Senator Scalise is starting to come through? It looks a little better for him.
Oh, that's great news.
But one of the other officers, I guess, isn't doing too well.
That's right.
Michael Miko, I believe.
One of the guys that responded, yes.
Yep, it's sad. But you know what? This is all, if this doesn't end, you're going to see a civil war, I'm telling you.
You know, there's been some talk now about gun control again, and the best argument is if there had been one of those congressmen with a gun in his satchel bag, he might have stopped this guy a lot sooner.
That's right. Anybody. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other night, Paul, I always carry. And the other night I went to the mall because I was shopping for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to bring my gun because I'm going to be changing in the dress unit. I can't leave it in there, walk out. You know what I mean? I didn't bring my gun with me. And you know what? I felt bald. I said, you know what?
You felt naked.
All the places I got to be is in the mall.
Yeah.
And with all these crazies around, the one time I don't have my gun, you watch something happen.
So you're,
this is what goes through your mind.
Yeah. So you're out there walking around in somebody else's clothes, the department store's clothes, and your gun is hanging with your clothes in the dressing room?
No, I wouldn't even take it with me.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't even carry it with me.
So you didn't bring it into the store?
No, I didn't even bring it in because of that fact. I wouldn't leave the gun sitting in my pocket in the dressing room.
Yeah. Well, you know just the fact that...
I tell you, it was terrible.
But just the fact that the bad guys know that there is a concealed carry allowed, like you can bring a gun somewhere, that stops them. That stops them because they're worried somebody's going to pull out a gun and shoot them.
That's right. That's right.
And this guy, I think, probably knew because all he had to do was look around. First of all, these guys are in uniforms, and you know they're not going to have a gun in their uniform anyway.
That's right.
And secondly, it's Washington where you're not allowed to carry guns publicly.
That's right. He was sleeping in his car since March, this guy.
Yeah, this guy, he's a real winner.
Yeah, well... So like I told everybody, thank the LCF, the American Civil Liberties Union for that. They got rid of all the nut houses, and that's where this guy belonged.
Oh, golly. Well,
they're running in the streets every day.
Yeah, it's very scary. It really is. And, you know, it's cities like Washington and places that have strict gun laws where you seem to be most vulnerable to stuff like this.
Well, like they say, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws
exactly
will have guns.
Right. Exactly. Andrew, you make perfect sense, my friend. You have a great weekend, and we'll be talking next week.
Have a happy Father's Day.
And the same to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Andrew. There he goes. He makes a lot of sense. And that's right, Father's Day Sunday, huh? Wow. We've got to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. So let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the minimum wage hurts restaurants and the patrons.
Uptown got its hustlers. Bowery got his bumps. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker, he a bull-shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do, not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid. And staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment of the final show of this week of Freedom Works, and we're delighted you are with us. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this minimum wage hike business, and you continue to hear about it, kind of lost in some of the other things going on in Washington. But last week, outside a suburban Chicago office complex, hundreds of fast food workers were gathered. They had signs declaring, "Resist wage theft." And then they had ones depicting Trump in a Ronald McDonald costume. But the protesters, part of what's called the Fight for 15, as in $15 an hour, were demanding wage increases and union rights for McDonald's workers. Meanwhile, the shareholders were meeting inside, because this is the headquarters in Oak Brook, Illinois, for the annual meeting. Some of the protesters, in fact, one of the employees for McDonald's that was protesting, he said instead of paying their CEO $15 million, they should give him $10 million and pay their workers what's right. Now, here's what the CEO of Applebee's, Neighborhood Grill and Bar, says. There are only two ways you can pay for people that want a hike to $15 minimum wage. You raise your prices, which the consumer is not going for, or you don't hire the same number of people you currently do. In other words, somebody's got to pay for the hike. And if you raise your prices in a restaurant, you will lose customers. And it's tough on the patrons, a lot of them. They go out maybe a couple of times once a week, and they look forward to it. But if you raise their prices, many of them are not going to be able to afford it. And it just is one more, it's one more example of how socialism really does not help the rich. It hurts the poor, because the rich can afford it. They can go with an increased price for any product. They can afford it, but not the middle class, and certainly not the poor. And yet you have to raise your prices when you force people to have an arbitrary, non-private sector minimum wage. You know? So this isn't a perfect example. And all of these guys standing on the street protesting, saying, you know, they got to raise the minimum wage, and they are supposedly McDonald's workers. What's going to happen to them? They're going to lose their jobs. You'll have more robotics even quicker. All right. I want to get to our, we have a campus quackery. This is it. And Wilbur was ready. Wow, was he ready. Excellent. A New Jersey school district had originally told, or had originally issued a yearbook and had blacked out Trump T-shirts. And a bunch of people at the high school were wearing Trump T-shirts. Trump for President T-shirts, or Donald Trump, or whatever. Or Make America Great, right? So they blacked them out in the yearbook. They blacked them out. Well, the school district now says it's going to reissue the yearbooks and put back the correct photos, the unaltered photos that included the word Trump or Make America Great or whatever. And apparently, here's what the school district said. They regard free speech and do not condone any censorship of political views on the part of our students. Originally, they had blacked out a couple of students who were wearing Trump T-shirts. One guy's name was Grant Berardo. He was a junior at the Wall Township High School in New Jersey, and he wore a blue graphic T-shirt that said, "Trump, Make America Great Again." But the yearbook originally showed him wearing a solid color T-shirt. So that's good news. That's good news. And the yearbook advisor, the original yearbook advisor, he's been suspended with pay. So there you go. All right. It is time. It is time, my friends. We had the worst cars of 2017 in our last show. So turnabout is fair play. Here are the best cars of 2017, according to U.S. News and World Report. Number 10, the 2017 Honda Accord. It got a ranking of 8.6 out of 10. The real knock, the only real knock on the Accord, an awkwardly shaped trunk, but that does not outshine the comfortable ride and responsive transmission. Number nine, the 2017 Nissan Maxima, 8.6 out of 10. A blacked-out C-pillar, signature LED headlight, and an aggressive front grille. The Maxima backs that look with a potent 300-horsepower V6 engine. Number eight, the 2017 Buick LaCrosse, 8.6 out of 10. The new-look LaCrosse, instantly more luxurious, more modern, more technologically advanced. It has a 310-horsepower V6 engine. Number seven, the 2017 Kia Forte, I guess it's pronounced, F-O-R-T-E, 8.6 out of 10. Features a cockpit that has the feel of a European luxury car, simple controls, and available UVO touchscreen infotainment system. Number six, the 2017 Volkswagen GTI, combining all the best attributes of the upscale Golf hatchback with a turbocharged 210-horsepower engine. Number five, the 2017 Chevy Malibu. Nine-speed automatic transmission boasts roomy seats, spacious cabin. Number four, 2017 Kia Cadenza, 8.7 out of 10, beamy upscale styling, backed by a potent V6 engine, includes Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, whatever the hell that is. All right, number three, 2017 Mazda 3, 8.7 out of 10. Handling superb, acceleration strong, 2.5-liter engine. Features an ergonomic and upscale cockpit. Number two, the 2017 Honda Fit. You ever heard of the Honda Fit?
No.
8.8 out of 10. Great economy, 40 miles per gallon on the highway. Incredibly versatile cabin with multiple seating configurations. Also has a high safety score. All right, the Honda Fit. And finally, the number one best car of 2017. It's a Hyundai. Wow. Can you believe it? A 2000.
Yep.
Can you?
I can. What was it? One American car in there?
Yes.
Chevy something?
A Buick LaCrosse.
A Buick.
You're right.
Okay.
No, there were two. I'm sorry. There was a Buick LaCrosse at 8 and the Chevy Malibu at 5. But the Hyundai Sonata, 8.8 out of 10, number one among midsize cars, sporty styling, comfortable ride, intuitive BlueLink infotainment system, and a great trunk sensory system. Apparently, you don't even have to pop the trunk with your hand anymore. But, you know, it's funny, these Korean cars, all of a sudden, we used to laugh at, of course, we used to laugh at the original Japanese car, didn't we?
Be South Korean, right? Not North.
If it's North Korean, you have a scoop. No, it's South Korean. It's South Korean.
And
how in God's name? Now, do you think they smuggle any of these Hyundai Sonatas over the border to North Korea?
The only thing North Korea makes is missiles.
It makes trouble.
Yeah.
That's another thing it makes. Well, my friends, thank you so very much for being with us today. Always remember, freedom works, and we'll be back on Monday.
Let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes to tumble me down.